Hey, Jeff, this is Sean. What's up?
Hey, not much. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, no problem. I just woke up, so I don't have all my words with me yet, but I'm ready to do this. My name is Sean Dunn. I live in New York. I was born and raised here, and I'm a Hulkamaniac. And documentary filmmaker.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about
someone who needs something and who's looking for something in the world.
The podcast about
the unknown.
No. So what's up?
Well, I watched your documentary. I produce a podcast about how people deal with fear, how they treat things they don't know about, and American Juggalo was the first thing I've seen in years that actually made me feel something about the people I was watching. And I have some questions for you about the documentary and your process in making that, if you got a couple minutes.
Yeah, that's great.
So my mom's going to probably listen to this, and I have a feeling that as we start throwing the word Juggalo around, we might lose her and maybe some of the other listeners. So to start out, what is a Juggalo?
A Juggalo is, I guess they would technically be classified as people that are fans of the Insane Clown Posse to the point where, you know, they follow them around or make this trek every year to the gathering of the Juggalos. You know, and they're hardcore about it, and they have a certain belief system, and a lot of that stuff is based on stuff that they hear in the Insane Clown Posse lyrics. Insane Clown Posse is a rap duo from Detroit. And, you know, I guess early on they preached a lot of violence and hatred and all that type of stuff. But I don't know, to tell you the truth, I'm really not that familiar with their music. I was kind of just more fascinated with Juggalos. And you know, like you ask what Juggalos are, and, you know, I guess the classic answer is, yeah, they're fans of the Insane Clown Posse. But I don't know, I think it's a little bit more than that. I think it's people that are people that don't give a fuck, and people that you know, don't subscribe to societal norms, and they do whatever they want, whenever they want. Your typical Juggalo looks like somebody that came out of your, like, average 1990s high school, you know, whereas we might maybe would have classified that as goth before. You know, that's kind of what they look like. It's usually baggy jeans, baggy t-shirts, something going around with the hair, tons of piercings. Something usually with the hair, it's usually some dreads or dye job or mohawk or something. I mean, it really could be anything. It's an expression. You know, tons of piercings, tattoos. You see a Hatchet Man tattoo, and you know you got a Juggalo in your hands. That's the like Insane Clown Posse Psychopathic Records logo. It's a guy running with a hatchet. If you ever see anyone have a tattoo like that, then you're dealing with a Juggalo. You know, they come in all different shapes and sizes, but traditionally they're wearing some sort of Psychopathic Records gear and some baggy clothes, bandanas, these types of things. Oh, what is a Juggalo? A Juggalo, ask what it is, well, fuck if I know. What is a Juggalo? I don't know, but I'm down with the ground and I'm down for life, yeah.
So can you tell me how you first got interested in Juggalos?
How did I first get interested in Juggalos? I don't know. I guess I was looking to do something outside my comfort zone in terms of filmmaking. And I couldn't think of anything more outside my comfort zone than spending a week with Juggalos. So 15 to 20,000 Juggalos from all over the country and all over the world get together. For the past few years, it's been in a place called Cave in Rock, Illinois. It's a really remote farmland area. And it's basically just complete lawlessness. There's drugs abound and surround, and wrestling, and music, and camping, and more drugs, and, you know, that type of stuff. A lot of debauchery, a lot of fun, though. I predicted that the results would be really textured and colorful, and I think that's what we got.
This is home. We can get bucked up and don't have to worry about it.
Woof woof!
The best thing about being a juggalo is my motherfucking family!
Family! Family! Family! Family!
Family! Family! Family!
Why do you think people are scared of juggalos?
Why are people scared of juggalos? I don't know. I think people are generally scared. I mean, in my experience, the things that scare people the most seem to be those unknowns, those factors that you can't define. Those, you know, you look at someone like that, and you're like, I don't know what their next move is going to be. You know, they can come off as pretty volatile, and you know, I think that can be scary in itself. I think that plays a big factor in it. They have a little bit of they get a bad rap in the media, so that plays into it as well. I think that you know, them being classified by the FBI as a gang organization, it doesn't help their reputation. So you know, I think all those things combined could really strike some fear into somebody if you were to run into a group of these people on the streets. But I don't know. I think the truth of the matter is they're more just people that are like everyone else, just seeking acceptance on a certain level. A lot of these people have had terrible lives. Most of the people that we talked to didn't have, when we went to have them sign the release to be in the film, most of them didn't have home addresses or cell phones. So it was really interesting to see. So then, you know, that led us to some conversations about what their home lives were like. And, you know, a good majority of them come from really, really, really shitty situations. Usually had lost a parent or both. And, you know, like I said, they're seeking acceptance on a certain level.
They call themselves a family, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's everything. I think, you know, that's what everyone's seeking in one way or another, whether it's, you know, with a girlfriend or boyfriend or a church group or being a part of a community. We're all seeking to connect with other human beings in a certain way. And I think that these people just need it in a more profound way than most people. And you end up going to an extreme, and juggaloism is an extreme.
I first became a juggalo because my brother right here, I mean, I've known him for over 11 years now, you know. He's not my blood, but goddamn it, he'll be the closest thing I will ever have to blood, you know. And just the scene, through kind people, you know. Kind people that people look down upon because they listen to weird shit. They didn't like their music or their appearance, so they turned them away. This motherfucker's been turned away by some of the so-and-so kind people, churchgoers. I go every Sunday, pay my dues, and they turn him down because of the way he looks and talks. This motherfucker has helped me pay my rent, took me in. He's done more shit for me than my own family.
So tell me a little bit about when you and your crew, how many were in your crew when you were doing this?
We had seven people.
Seven people. So you and seven people show up in a van, and can you tell me what you saw and felt when you stepped out initially?
You know, there was that moment of fear, you know, when the first group of people kind of came towards us asking why do we have cameras, what's going on, that type of thing. But you quickly get over it when you realize, hey, if I'm gonna be myself, they're gonna accept me. And if there was any fear or trepidation, it was gone within a few minutes of taking out the cameras. One of the first shots in the film after that opening montage is just like groups of hordes of people kind of coming towards the camera, screaming stuff. That was the first thing we shot. We literally got out of the van, and some sort of event, some sort of amateur wrestling thing let out on the other side of the campground. So pretty much everyone that was at the gathering at that point was walking towards us. So we made our presence, it wasn't intentional, but we made our presence known right away. And, you know, it also went a long way in calming us down. Nobody was attacking us. No one was grabbing our equipment. Nobody was even being particularly mean to us. After our presence was known, after the first day or so, we would show up with our cameras, and people would be already ready to speak to us, or had heard that, you know, that we were making an independent film about just juggalos. you know, and they were anxious to have their voices heard. So, you know, by the last day, we ended up having to deny people. We were running out of light, and we had so many people that wanted to talk to us. So,
well, actually, let's talk a little bit about expectations. What were you expecting when you arrived?
You know what? It's one of those questions I get a lot, and I think everyone expects me to say I was really scared and whatnot. But in the research that I had done before going there, I hadn't really found any instances of anyone getting hurt, especially people that were part of the media. So I had a feeling going in that these people were going to be different than the way that they were being sensationalized by the media. So I wasn't that scared. I had a few people on the crew that were a little hesitant, but overall we weren't that worried. We were there to do a job, and we did it.
You mentioned about how they're portrayed in the media a lot, and do you think that plays into why people are often afraid of them?
Yeah, I think it does, and I think it also, in a weird roundabout way, kind of plays into their behavior. And you know, the more they get portrayed like that, the more they want to lash out and act like that. It kind of is a peaceful thing. At least the gathering is. I don't know much about what goes on in these people's personal lives, but the violent, sensational aspects of it aren't really there, and I think that the media, you know, only reporting on the terrible things about Juggalos or how stupid they are, or this and that, you know, while it's fun to watch and it's probably fun to report, it's just not that accurate. And that's what I'm looking to do with my films is, you know, give a little bit more of a real accurate taste of what's going on out there.
Can you draw any comparisons between like Juggalos in modern society versus any other historical movements?
I grew up a punk rocker. I wasn't there for the beginnings of it, but I assume that they were treated the same way that the Juggalos were when the whole punk rock thing first started. You know, those were, well, at least in the beginning, poor kids who were trying to find something that they could believe in, something that they could grasp onto, and you know, seeking family and community in a way. And I could see a ton of comparisons in that world, to you know, what the original punk rockers were. I think there's probably another million examples, but just that's the one I'm most familiar with. And you know, ultimately, what happened with punk rock is they didn't practice what they preached, and I think that's kind of why it's fizzled away. Whereas the Juggalos, they preach family and they preach unity and they preach nonviolence and all this stuff at the gathering, and they stick to it. And I think it makes it, as silly as it all may seem, it makes it a little bit reputable.
Can you tell me an example of a time when you saw people practicing what they preached?
There's a place called Drug Bridge at the gathering of the Juggalos, and it's a little stupid, probably 15-foot little bridge, and it's probably 10 feet wide. But every drug dealer at the gathering of the Juggalos lines up on each side of that, and you can literally find any drug that you can imagine, stuff that you hadn't heard of, in Quaaludes, weird stuff. But you know, your standard, you know, ecstasy, weed, hash, pills, whatever you need, you can get there. And you know, one dude was caught sending or passing around fake bills there, and he was about to catch a beatdown from a couple drug dealers. And you know, everyone kind of came together and you know, solved the situation without this guy ultimately getting his ass kicked. So you know, it was interesting to see something that is such a huge faux pas, passing counterfeit bills and trying to rip off a drug dealer, was solved by everyone saying like Juggalos hug or something like that. And you know, they ended up hugging it out and working out the situation. And I don't know, there was no other cameras. There was no cameras there. We didn't even have our cameras. So just to witness that going on, you know, unprompted and kind of this self-regulating system, it was really eye-opening for me.
Were there any other moments when you had to kind of stop and notice something?
You know, that's kind of how we spent our whole time there, really. Kind of just keeping our ear to the streets and keeping our eyes peeled, because as nice as everyone was being to us, there was there was bottles of Faygo flying everywhere and toilet paper rolls. And, you know, you see some really strange out there stuff there. I saw a 12-year-old boy getting a lap dance from this fully nude juggalette just going at him. And, you know, you see stuff like that. You see pregnant chicks smoking. You see pregnant chicks drinking. You see a lot of really weird and unacceptable things there. But that's their whole thing. They preach acceptance and they stick to it.
Right. And so coming from someone who might not have that same level of acceptance, was there anything you saw that really bothered you?
Wow, that's a really good question, because I think that my opinion about that might have changed by now, because I've become so desensitized, not only from, you know, sitting in the edit and watching this stuff over and over, but also just, you know, from being there and seeing stuff like that kid get a lap dance. You know, that was the one thing I remember walking away from that thing and being like, oh, that disturbed me in a really deep way. It was just, it seemed more traumatizing than anything. And the kid's dad was sitting there just drunk, and the kid was completely uncomfortable with the whole thing, but the kid's dad kept handing the chick money and she kept dancing, and it was just that it was just kind of like a really traumatizing thing to watch a kid go through in public. And, I didn't realize that type of stuff was going on. And I'm not going to say that that's the norm there or that's what was going on in every single place there, but that was one thing that I witnessed that I remember sticking with me.
Tony, what's the sign?
Man, I'm a virgin, dude. I want to get laid. It's the place to do it at. It's the motherfucking gathering, man.
Think you're going to make it happen?
Probably not knowing me, man.
What's wrong?
I'm me, man. I'm insane. I like to stab people. You know what I mean?
So what do you think the moral of it all is? The film itself doesn't really make much of a judgment statement, you know, but what do you think your moral takeaway from it is?
I think that's an important thing, and I try to do that with all my films. I try to be a little bit even-handed, but I think with this one more than the other ones, it was about acceptance and family and unity and being there for one another, and you know, all those themes that are kind of right below the surface, right below like all of the craziness and absurdity that goes on there, is this big family, and they need each other. And like I said, they're all from really, really terrible circumstances, and for this one time a year, they can get together and they can be themselves without their community judging them, without cops up their ass. And I think that what this film was trying to show is, even though that can come off as really crazy sometimes, it's crazy beautiful in the same way.
So at the beginning of this interview, I kind of asked you what a juggalo was, and you answered from kind of the textbook definition of saying someone who is a strong follower of Insane Clown Posse. And now I'd kind of like to pose that question again to you and say, like, from a more philosophical level, what is a juggalo?
A juggalo is someone who needs something and who's looking for something in the world, and for whatever reason, Insane Clown Posse's music and the community that it provides is that thing. And I think we're all juggalos in some way. Every time you say you don't give a fuck about something, or you just do whatever the hell you want, you're a juggalo. You know, these people collectively as a group, you know, showed what's inside them. And I think, you know, people have responded appropriately to the film by kind of taking a second look and being a little bit more accepting. Not only of juggalos, but, you know, of anybody. That's the broader message. And I think the guy that we have at the end of the film really kind of sums it up really nicely, saying,
it's about a united nation. It don't matter your race, your size, your sex, your gender, what you're into, how you like it. As long as you claim the J-U-G-G-A-L-O, you're accepted, buddy. There is no bigotry in juggaloism. We are not a bigot. We are fucking family through and throughout. It's about inside, not outside. True life is inside your soul. I am a juggalo. I'm an American juggalo. Whoa, whoa.
American Juggalo is a 23-minute documentary directed by Sean Dunn, and I really can't highly recommend it enough. It's available for free online at AmericanJuggalo.com, and I'm also going to link to it both here on SoundCloud and over at Herbie Monster's website. That's HBMPodcast.com. It's a really great film, and as much as I love radio, the images, the videography really make it, so be sure to give it a watch. Sean Dunn lives and works in New York, where he currently is directing a feature-length documentary about Oceana, West Virginia's OxyContin abuse epidemic. You can find more information about that film, it's called Oxyana, over at Sean's website, veryapeproductions.com. As always, I'd love to know what you thought of the show, so don't hesitate to leave a comment or send an email. You heard music on the show today by, well, the Insane Clown Posse, but also from The Black Spot and from Lucky Dragons. And I just want to touch on something really briefly here, because it's something I'm going to address further in an upcoming show. But I've just published a small photography magazine from my hitchhiking trip, and I made the magazine as a fundraiser for this show, and it's photos of the silly tourists that seem to show up at Yellowstone National Park each summer in Wyoming. So if you want to take a look at it or get a head start on the crowd, it's available for $10 with free shipping online at the Here Be Monsters site. That's hbmpodcast.com, and just click on the button that says store. And that's it. We've got some great shows in the upcoming weeks, so be sure to stick around, stay in touch, and keep listening.